That trip to Miami changed my life. A group of around 1,500 people, comprised of parents, siblings, offspring, and individuals diagnosed with severe mental illness, gathered together for support, education, advocacy, and research-related issues. Until I met other siblings of individuals with mental illness, I had not realized what a profound impact my brother's illness had had on my life. In the course of those days, I found a family of people who understood the anguish I felt at the loss of my brother to his schizophrenia. They understood my family's struggle to help him access quality treatment. They fought together as an organized voice against the social injustice and stigma related to mental illness. They were armed with educational programs for themselves as well as for the public about the biological nature of these disorders. Equally important, they rallied with the brain researchers to help find a cure. I felt that I was in the right place at the right time. I was a sibling, a scientist, and passionate about helping people like my brother. In my soul, I felt that I had found not only a cause worthy of my effort, but also an extended family. The week after the Miami convention, I arrived at McLean Hospital stoked and eager to start my new job in the Laboratory for Structural Neuroscience, the research domain of Dr. Francine Benes. I was all abuzz and thrilled to begin my postmortem investigations into the biological basis of schizophrenia. Francine, whom I affectionately call the Queen of Schizophrenia, is an amazing research scientist. Just watching how she thinks, how she explores, and how she pieces together what she learns from data was a total joy for me. It was a privilege to witness her creativity and experimental design, and her persistence, precision, and efficiency in running a research lab. This job was a dream come true. Studying the brains of individuals diagnosed with schizophrenia brought me a feeling of purpose. On the first day of my new job, however, Francine threw me for a loop when she informed me that the infrequency of brain donations from families of individuals with mental illness had created a long-term shortage of brain tissue for postmortem investigation. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I had just spent the better half of a week at National NAMI with hundreds of other families with members diagnosed with severe mental illness. Dr. Lou Judd, a former director of the National Institute of Mental Health, had moderated the research plenary, and several leading scientists had presented their research. NAMI families love sharing and learning about brain research, so I found it mind-boggling that there could be a lack of donated tissue. I decided this was merely a public awareness issue. I believed that once NAMI families knew that there was a research tissue shortage, they would promote brain donation within the organization and resolve the problem. The next year, 1994, I was elected to the National NAMI Board of Directors. It was a thrill for me to be of service to this wonderful organization, a huge honor and responsibility. Of course, the base of my platform was the value of brain donation and the shortage of psychiatrically diagnosed tissue available for scientists to do their work. I called it the tissue issue. At the time, the average age of a NAMI member was 67 years old. I was only 35. I felt proud to be the youngest person ever elected to this board. I had lots of energy and was raring to go.